OLTU.com,
the home of quality podcasts.
Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 201 of Shutters Inc. A week or two back, I saw a great post on digitalphotographyschool.com, and it was essentially just titled, "Keep the Best, Delete the Rest." And I probably don't need to elaborate too much on what the post was about, but it got me thinking about, I don't know about you, but I have a tendency to keep every single photo I shoot, even the crap ones. I mean, if something goes absolutely horribly wrong and I end up with a black frame, that stuff I delete. But I tend to have all of these crap images in my Lightroom databases. You know, ones that, you know, the camera didn't focus where I wanted it to focus, or, you know, just whatever. Photos that just, you know, you would never display anywhere. And yet, I don't know, there just seems to be this thing that I have a reluctance to throw away the photos. And I thought, what is with that? You know, because as an audio engineer, I only keep, you know, mixes of commercials or whatever that I'm absolutely stoked with, you know. And it might be that over the course of a year, I'll only keep, you know, a dozen pieces of work, because the rest of it is just noise, you know, as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's not stuff that I would ever use, you know, if I was looking for another audio job, you know. So I really just, you know, when I build something that absolutely floats my boat, I go, yep, I'm keeping that one. That's a keeper, you know. And yet with photography, it's a totally different ball game, and I don't know why. And I think I need to start employing that, you know, that philosophy of just keeping only the good stuff. I'd be keen to hear anyone else's input. You know, is there anything to be learned by keeping the shots that didn't work? I'm keen to hear your input on that. I got another email from Nathan Chilton, who said, "Bruce, your suggestion that you have each camera photograph the same smartphone, showing the current time, including seconds, would absolutely work. Although, you don't need them to all photograph the phone and clock at the same exact time. As long as they all photograph the same reference clock on the same day, the photos should all sync up perfectly." And I'll just interject there and say, only if the clocks on the cameras are already in sync, Nathan, because if they're not, then the images won't sync up. Anyway, I'll continue reading. "If I'm syncing my own cameras in post, I have them all photograph the current time on the time.gov website, so that the photos from the different cameras will both be in sync with each other and also have accurate timestamps, since the clock that is photographed will also be accurate." It's a good way of doing it too. And as you say, yeah, they will certainly be accurate timestamps as well. So yeah, I like that. "You may recall we heard from Blake Bodycote a couple of months back, and Blake had done an absolutely gorgeous sunrise shot. Anyway, he sent me another email. He said, "Hey Bruce, I've got a bit of an issue, and episode 200 influenced me to email you this. When I import my photos into Lightroom, I put my SD card into my laptop and then copy all the photos from the card and paste them into a folder on my external 1 terabyte hard drive. Then I open up Lightroom and import the photos into Lightroom using the add option, meaning if my hard drive is disconnected and I want to process my images, Lightroom can't find the images. I've limited USB ports on my laptop to use external hard drives, and I don't think it's a good idea to have 2 or 3 drives hanging off the laptop anyway. Most importantly, my images are not backed up. So if my hard drive corrupts, I'm screwed. Would there be a better way to store my images when using a laptop? I know about the Drobo system, but honestly don't know too much about it. Thanks. You're doing great with the show." Well, thank you, Blake. Appreciate the vote of confidence. There's a couple of things. depending on what format you're shooting your images in, I'm guessing if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you've possibly adopted, you know, the mantra that, well, I suppose I've adopted it more rigorously than Shelton did, of I always shoot raw. Shelton was the one who sort of put me onto that, but then after a while he sort of changed his tune and said that he was shooting a lot of JPEG stuff anyway. I think it was after he got his D700, he was so impressed with the quality of JPEGs out of that he started shooting JPEG again. But if you're shooting JPEGs anyway, then I would say why not just upload to, you know, any one of the free, you know, quote unquote drive sites that are on the net. You know, we've got, you know, Google Drive, which has just launched. You've got Microsoft SkyDrive. I think Apple have got the iCloud. You've got things like Dropbox. So there's plenty of places around that will offer you, you know, a couple of gigs of storage space for free, and then extra space if you want it, you know, at a, you know, small monthly price after that, if you, you know, if you need more space than that. If you're shooting RAW, then you've got a couple of options. Either buy another external drive and preferably don't store that drive with your first drive. You know, the whole point of doing a backup is that, you know, the images live in some other place. So if you, you know, if you have two hard drive copies and you keep them both in the same cupboard and your house gets burgled or your house burns down, then, you know, having two hard drives sitting together is really of not much benefit to you. So what I would suggest is, you know, if you can afford to have a second hard drive, and, you know, I mean, they're relatively cheap these days, you know, grab a second hard drive. And maybe, you know, if you've got a friend who lives next door, ask them if you could leave one drive with them, you know, and maybe just once a month, you know, you wander over to their house, say, hey, just want to grab my drive, going to back it up, you know, and once a month you just make a duplicate of that hard drive, you know, back up everything you've shot from the current month onto that drive, and then take it back to your friend next door, you know, or if you've, you know, got a relative who lives nearby, do the same sort of thing. That's one option. Alternatively, there are a whole bunch of sites that offer paid backup on a monthly basis, you know, and that the cost of these things is getting cheaper and cheaper all the time. Four that come to mind would be Carbonite, which Leo Laporte promotes pretty heavily through the Twit network. Crash Plan is another one, Jungle Disk, and Mosey. And I think like Jungle Disk was like $2 US a month, like it's dirt cheap. I think Mosey and Crash Plan are both around about $5 a month or something like that. I think Carbonite was the most expensive of the lot at about $6 a month. But you know, I mean, that's, you know, pretty much just pocket change, you know, even for somebody young like yourself. I don't know what your employment status is, Blake, but you know, even $5 a month, I'm sure you could scrape that up if you had to. Obviously backing up raw files can be time consuming if you're going to back up over the net. So what I would suggest if you are going to implement some sort of plan like that is set it up so that it backs up overnight. You know, you just leave your computer running, connected to the net, and you create a schedule that automatically backs up your, you know, photos folder on a given day of the month or a given day of the week, even depending on how often you want to do it, and just let it run overnight, you know, and just let it chug away. It's going to take ages, but you know, you just let it sit there and chug along, and eventually they'll all get backed up. So those are two options, you know, either another hard drive or, you know, start paying a monthly fee for a for a, you know, a hosting service that will host, you know, gigs and gigs and gigs of files for you. Because obviously, you know, if you're shooting raw files, then it doesn't take long to fill up a gigabyte of space, as you would know. So I hope some of that makes some sense to you. The third option, which is obviously not a perfect option, if you are shooting raw files, but you know, you just need to back up in some way, shape or form, would be to create JPEGs of everything. And again, you know, store them in an online folder somewhere. You know, I mean, pretty much every web service these days offers some sort of, you know, online storage capability. You know, if you've got a Google account, then you've got access to Google Drive. And I think, what's Google Drive give you? Is it 2 gigs or 5 gigs? I think it's 5 gigs. You know, so if you were just backing up JPEGs, you'd fit squillions of JPEGs into 5 gigs. So yeah, there's a few options there. Hopefully some of that's of use. If anyone else has got any ideas on backup and storage solutions for Blake, bearing in mind that he's working on a laptop, so he can't, you know, it's not like he can put an internal drive into it. So yeah, give us a yell and I'll mention it on the podcast and or flick him an email. You may remember a few weeks back we did meetup number 23 here in Sydney. We did a Black Friday shoot with a theme of sort of a gypsy fortune teller theme. And I took the step of taking my analog Minolta, what is it, 700SI. God, so long since I've used the bloody thing, I have to remember what the model number is. I took it along and I shot a roll of film. And when I finished the roll of film, I went into the local Paxton's, which is a camera store here in Sydney, and I dropped it in, and it was a Friday. It was the Friday before I was going on holiday. And I went in there, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, just before I went into work. And I said, look, can you guys, you know, process this and have it ready by lunchtime? And I said, I don't want prints. I just want, you know, the neg developed and scanned to a CD. And they said, oh, look, we can't today because we're not running a C41 process today. And I went, okay. So I thought, well, I suppose I just have to leave it here, pick it up in a week's time when I come back from holiday. So I said to the guy, all right, I'll leave it with you, but I won't be back for a week. And he said, okay, no worries. So I'm walking out of the shopping centre and I saw Big W. And I thought, they've got a film department. I might just pop in there and see if they can do it. So went in, saw the girls at the photo counter. I said, are you running C41 today? And they said, yeah, we can do that. I said, right, so if I was to bring in a roll of film in the next 5 minutes, you could have it, you know, developed and scanned to a CD by lunchtime. They went, yeah, not a problem. So I went, sweet. Went back to Paxton, said, give me the roll of film back. Going to take it over to Big W. And so took it over to Big W and said to the girl, you know, shot a roll of film just for the fun of it. Can you develop the negs for me and scan to CD in the best quality you've got? She goes, yeah, no worries. I said, I'll be back at lunchtime to pick it up. Came back at lunchtime, and they've printed off your standard 6x4 sized print as a thumbnail proof card, if you like. So just a small thumbnail of the 24-odd images that were on the roll of film, all on one 6x4 card. You know, and they look fantastic on there. And so I've paid for the CD and got the roll of film back and the proof card, and off I've gone. And then I stuck the CD in the computer when I got back to work and had a look at it, and oh my god, the quality of the scan was appalling. This thing looks like a 8-bit JPEG compressed to level 3 that's been opened, tweaked, resaved, closed, opened, tweaked, resaved and closed. It looks, oh, it's just shocking. I could not believe how bad it was. And I think it was Richard Freiberg who made a comment on Facebook about, you know, I think he said something like, oh, I hope you're going, you know, somewhere decent to get it scanned. Richard, now I understand why you made that comment, mate. It was just appalling. I should put one of them up just so you can see how bad they are. But yeah, so lesson learned. So one of these days I will get around to getting someone decent to scan it. I seriously think they must have done this on like an $80 bottom of the line domestic scanner. It was just shocking. Anyway, that's what you get for being a tightwad, I guess. All right, so moving on. Today is Tuesday. Yesterday, obviously, was Monday. And myself and Darren Purbrick, who's been to a few of the Sydney meetups, he and I and a bunch of, 15, 18 other people went to the Joe McNally Through the Lens Tour lighting workshop here in Sydney, which was great. It's just great. Absolutely amazing venue, a place called Vaucluse House, which is one of the historic houses of New South Wales. Absolutely beautiful old house. I don't know when it was built, but I would say it would be, you know, mid to late 1800s. Absolutely gorgeous piece of land. It's right on the tip of South Head, for anyone who knows the Sydney geography. Beautiful spot, and just everywhere you went, you just jaw was just dragging on the ground going, oh my god, I'd love to shoot, you know, X here. You know, everything just looked amazing. So much character to the place, you know, so much old stuff that's just, you know, just full of character. And everywhere we went, like, as we were broken up into five separate groups when we were shooting, every group had a member of staff from the Historic Houses Trust tagging along with the group, making sure that we didn't touch any furniture, didn't move any furniture. We were told at the beginning of the day, you know, look, guys, just bear in mind this is a historic house, it's under trust. If you want something moved, it can be moved, but we, as the photographers, cannot do it. You know, they said to us, you know, if you want something moved, just talk to the person from, you know, Vaucluse House who's tagging along with you, and they will move anything that you want moved if it's okay to do so. You know, there may be some things you might ask for it to be moved and they might say no, and you just have to respect that. So yeah, so we just had an amazing time, had a whole bunch of different models, both male and female. And one of the things that really stuck with me from the day was Joe's approach to diffusion. I think we've all, you know, at some point and to some degree, we've played around with umbrellas, we've played around with softboxes. The thing that got me with Joe was that he will quite often double and sometimes even triple diffuse a light. He was in the process. He had a speed light in his hand, presumably a Nikon speed light because he's a Nikon shooter, and it had the little white plastic, you know, clip-on diffuser over the head of the speed light, and he's reached for a little collapsible softbox. They had a whole bunch of Lastalite gear there for us to play with. So he's grabbed one of these Lastalite Easy Boxes, which are like a collapsible softbox, and he's just about to stuff it in there, and he said, oh, look, you know, he said, some people think that if they're going to stick a speed light into a softbox, that they should take the little white plastic cup off the front of the speed light first. He said, but I'm actually of the opinion, why? You know, leave it on there. Double diffuse. Because it'll just, you know, soften the light even more. And then he went to the next stage, was he had one of his assistants holding a Lastalite tri-grip panel, which is essentially like those, you know, fold-out diffuser panels that you can get, and they generally have reversible covers on them, so you can have a gold side and a white side and a silver side, black side, whatever. Or you can take the cover right off, and the internal portion of it is a diffuser. And these things are triangular in shape with a handle on one corner, which makes them really easy to hold, and about 90 centimeters along each side. So they're a reasonable size, not so big as to be unwieldy, but not so small as to be useless. Just a really good size. And so what he's got is he's got one of his assistants holding the Lastalite panel up to his model, and then holding in the other hand the speed light, which has still got its little white cup diffuser on the front, and then it's on a little collapsible softbox, and then he's firing the softbox at the Lastalite tri-grip diffuser panel. So there's essentially three levels of diffusion. Now, by the time you get to that Lastalite tri-grip panel, I'm not sure that you would notice one way or another whether the little white plastic cup was over the front of the speed light inside the softbox. But it was just an interesting concept, you know, and so through the day, we were trying, you know, all sorts of different lighting things, and I grabbed one of the models at one stage and did exactly what Joe had done, although I didn't have a little white plastic cup on my speed light, but I did, you know, stick it into the little collapsible softbox, which was probably about 20 centimeters square, I suppose. It was just a small one. And then fired that through the tri-grip panel. And I got to say, it creates a beautiful, soft light. And the couple of images that I've put up on Facebook today, or put them up last night, but today there's just been so many comments about those images. Didn't hurt that the model was drop-dead gorgeous. And some of the people who've commented are her friends. But yeah, just an interesting approach, something I'd never considered, the idea of diffusing multiple times. So I'll throw up links to the Lastalite Easy Box. You could do the same thing with, say, the Honnell Photo, the 8-inch Traveler softbox that Dave Honnell developed. I mean, you could do the same thing with that. And it reminded me also that there was a great post on DIYphotography.net of 24 different designs for homemade softboxes. So I'll throw that link back in the links in the show notes as well too, because if you're on a budget but you want to muck around with softboxes, it's a lot of fun building one yourself. I've done it a couple of times, and you know, it's amazing how you can get great results with just a little bit of craft work at home, you know, without spending a squillion bucks on the real deal, as it were. So, I'll put those links up for you. All right, that will do it for this week. I think there's nothing else I wanted to talk about. Any questions, comments, feedback, please drop me an email. You know where to find me. Until I speak with you next, take care.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email studio@audio2you.com.